are in a series called The Four Gospels. And we're taking a look at each of the different authors. And for those of you who haven't been here to hear these messages, maybe you're not aware that each gospel writer had a very specific purpose, an audience, or reason they were writing. As we discovered Matthew, his was a gospel directed at the Jews. While Mark's gospel had a sense of urgency, Mark was pressing upon us to repent and call upon the name of Christ. Last week, we looked at how Luke made the Gentiles aware that Jesus died on a cross for them. Luke's message was for us, specifically. He was speaking to us from 2,000 years ago. This morning, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. So would you please open up your Bibles to John 20, verse 1. To set a little bit of context, this is the end of the Gospel of John. And it tells us a very, very important message that relates directly to where we're at this morning. So if you will join me in John 20, verse 1, it begins, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and she saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken him away, the Lord, out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster, and Peter, and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entering the tomb and saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been placed on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." This is the word of our Lord. It is an incredible account, a narrative of what Mary witnessed. A few weeks ago, we were in a series of women in the Bible, and we looked at Mary, and you, for those of you who were here, you would remember that Christ used a woman to declare that he is alive. So we have a question this morning. Why has John chosen to include this passage in his gospel? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves his deity. No one could have endured the crucifixion. No one could have entered a sealed tomb in the condition he was in and survived for 3 days. On Friday night, we went through a very graphic account, a medical account, of how Jesus died on the cross. There is not a shadow of a doubt that he was dead, and he was placed in the tomb, He lay there for 3 days. But by rising from the grave, Jesus proves he is the Son of God. That is why we say he is risen. He is risen indeed. It proves his deity. John's point in writing his gospel is to prove without a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. What is unique to John that you will not find in any other gospel is that in every single chapter of John, John places an emphasis on his deity. In every single chapter, John repeats it over and over again about how he is the Son of God. John's the only gospel writer to do this. John moves us along in understanding that if he rose from the grave, then he must be the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, then Jesus can give us eternal life. Perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I always wondered, whenever people quote John 3:16, why not include 3:17? Because it's a completing statement. Christ didn't come into the world to judge us, but to save us. The original Greek word for salvation is called sozo. That word is so very, very important. We need to pause for a moment and come to understand what that means, because John's gospel means so much more if we understand the meaning of sozo. We often think of it in terms of divine salvation, and that's one of its meanings. When we look at John 3:16, there's an emphasis to the divine salvation that we receive through Jesus. But did you know that, secondly, sozo also means to heal in this life? It's not just salvation, but it's healing. And we can receive that here, this side of eternity. John 4:46 begins, therefore he came to Cana of Galilee, where he, being Jesus, made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea and Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. I want to pause real quickly. John uses the word signs in place of miracles. That's his way of saying, if you look for the sign, if you look for the miracle, there you will find Jesus Christ. So time and time again, John says, look for the signs. That's where you can see Christ. In verse 49, the royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and with his whole household. I love John's account of this brief interaction between an official and himself. Jesus only says, go, your son lives. In those few words, Christ performed a miracle. Go. It's a command. Go. Your son lives. And the official believed him. What faith that father had. The third and final meaning of the word sozo is one of preservation, of doing well. In other words, that we are transformed by Jesus Christ, that our lives are radically different, that we live well. It's not just a matter of healing, but it's how we endure this life, how we face the trials and tribulations that this world will bring upon us. John 15, beginning in verse 12, states this. These are the words of Jesus. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." Perhaps one of the most important passages to understand in Scripture, that we are to love one another. Love is the greatest transformational agent in the world. When we love others as Christ loved us, we become transformed. When we understand the Gospels, when we understand the cost of the cross, when we understand that we are commanded, not an option, to love one another as Christ loved us, meaning unconditionally, without reservation. What John is saying is that if not for Jesus, none of us would have access to an eternity in heaven. If not for Jesus, we should never, ever expect miracles. If not for Jesus, we could never be transformed into better people. If not for Jesus, we would simply have no hope in this life.